Friends, let's join our hearts in prayer. Even as we sing today about peace and joy and love, Lord God, we pray that those would be more than just words that we speak, but that that spirit would be a part of our living, that we would be a people of peace, that we would express our lives in joyous reflection of who you are, and that the love that spills out from our lives would be a direct recognition of your love in our midst. Bless us today as we gather on this special day for these young people, these young graduates, and as we gather as family and friends, may we hear your word for our hearts and for our living today. In Jesus' name, amen. Our gospel story for today presents us with a bit of a flashback moment, taking us all the way back again to the last evening that our Savior Jesus spent with his disciples. And Jesus had some basic instructions that he wanted to offer to those that were following in his footsteps. And I couldn't help but think, what an appropriate text for even a day like today, as we have graduates that are drawing near to a transition point in their lives, and family and friends are thinking about future things, and yet here is God's word drawing us back to the basics all over again. And so our Lord gives instructions that he knows that we all need as God's people, instructions that our Lord believed would sustain us until that great and glorious day when he comes to set all things right and to claim us as his own. What were these instructions? Well, they're reflected very simply in the words that Jesus said when he offered this message: I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. For by this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I think it's safe to say that this new command is the simplest, clearest, and yet I dare say the hardest word of instruction that anyone can receive. Oh, come on now, Pastor Dave. Don't you think that's a bit of an exaggeration? What's so hard about loving one another, right? Just think nice thoughts about others, do an occasional good deed, and voila, we've done exactly what our Lord Jesus urges us to do. After all, we're nice people, right? We do nice things for others all the time, right? But wait a minute. Jesus doesn't stop here. He also says, just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Just like Jesus did, really? Oh, but wait. It seems that I recall that Jesus' kind of love ended up leading him to a cross. That sounds kind of hard. Clearly, loving Jesus' way isn't as easy, maybe, or even natural or comfortable as we thought. In fact, it sounds downright dangerous. So if you're tracking with me this morning, friends, maybe you're beginning to grasp why I would say at the beginning of this message, this new commandment that Jesus speaks of is, yes, the simplest, the clearest, but indeed the hardest instruction that we can receive. Did you know that Jesus only gave two commands in the New Testament? One was about loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and the second was about loving others. In other words, love your neighbor as yourself. But what is this love that's so basic, so foundational to Christian living? Well, believe it or not, loving God and loving others isn't something that comes natural to any of us. We were not born to love. And I look to little sweet babies as my indication of that. Everybody loves a baby, right? They're cute and cuddly, at least most of the time. But they are not by nature loving, if you've ever had a child in your life. In fact, it's much more honest and accurate to say that all of us come into this world pretty self-centered, pretty self-focused and grabby. Our chief concern from birth on is to have our needs met. We cry, we fuss so that someone will eventually meet our needs, and we don't stop crying until we get that need met. And you know something? I'm beginning to believe more and more that some people never grow beyond this approach to living, no matter how old or mature we are. Some people continue to whine and gripe and complain throughout their lives, grabbing for all that they can get for as long as they can get it. But hopefully some of us do learn something along the way in life. Somewhere along the way, there is more to living than just grabbing all that we can get in life. Somehow we learn about love, as well as how to receive love and give it back. And I believe most of us learn to love because someone at some time in our life, someone important to us, chose to model this love for us. In a devotional I read recently, a story was related about a young mother who was rocking her 4-year-old boy in her lap in one of those tall, high-backed rockers. I can almost hear the creaking of it as she was rocking her son gently. The little boy was sitting in the mother's lap, just content, resting his head on her shoulder and gazing up into her eyes. When suddenly, he lifts up his head and he stares straight at his mother and becomes very still. And then he reaches up and cups her chin in his tiny little hands, and with wonder and awe in his voice, he says, "I see myself in your eyes." This little child had discovered his own reflection in his mother's eyes, and it deeply affected him. Mother and son, though, stayed in this position for a long time, still quiet. And then the mother gazed back at her son and said, "I see myself in your eyes too." This little boy was already learning about love through his mother. And I would guess that this is how all of us, at one time or another, have learned about love, to see ourselves through the eyes of others, through the reflection of love from others in our lives. Maybe it was a mom, maybe it was a dad, perhaps it was a grandparent, a dear friend, but someone, somewhere in our lives, reflected back to us this basic, powerful message that we are special. We are precious. We are loved as we are. So now I want to ask before you, where did the essence of this love really originate? Well, in the first letter of John, who is the same author as our gospel today, we're told that such love started with God. In fact, John is bold enough to say, "God is love." There's another basic instruction. God is love. And then he goes on to say, we love because God first loved us. And this is exactly what the cross teaches. Our great creator God came to live among us in the flesh, pouring out his full and complete self sacrificially out of love for us, to remind us of the amazing, unlimited love that God has for all people. And then this same letter of 1 John continues with these powerful words. The commandment we have from God is this: those who love God, in other words, love God in return, must love brothers and sisters also. In other words, this is how God's love is made most visible. It's how we put God's love into action. When we share and reflect God's powerful love with everyone that we come to know, whether they're a family member, a friend, a neighbor, and yes, even strangers, and we do so without limit, without any conditions whatsoever, that's what it means to love, just as Jesus does. our Lord's basic instructions. Love God, love others. It sounds simple, it's quite basic, but I can't help but wonder, is this why we forget to practice it? Because somehow we believe that it'll just happen naturally. Well, dear friends, in light of today's gospel, I'm inviting you as well as myself to search down deep in our hearts and to make up our minds on this very day and in the days and years to come to do something that makes real to someone else what it means to be loved, a godly love. So let's begin anew the mission of loving just as Jesus does. And it won't always be easy. It won't come naturally, but it is something that we need to be intentional about. And if I can say this, I hope that it will sink in deep. Today's world, and you know this world as well as I, as broken and contentious and sometimes vicious as it is, we need a strong dose of this love in today's world. And we're how God chooses to share and make that love real. A little boy wanted to meet God. And not knowing where God lived, he decided to pack a suitcase and take some supplies with him. He didn't know how long it would take. So he packed up some Twinkies and a six-pack of root beer, and he started out on his journey. When he got just a few blocks from his home, he met this elderly lady that was sitting on a park bench all by herself, and she was just staring blankly at the pigeons at her feet. The boy sat down next to her, and he opened up his suitcase, and he was about to take a drink of his root beer when he looked over at the woman, and he saw how sad she was, so he reached in his suitcase and dug out a Twinkie and handed it to her. And the woman smiled back at the little boy and received his gift. He really liked that smile, and he wanted to see it again. So then he passes to her some of his root beer, and again, a broad smile breaks out on this old woman's face. And the boy was delighted, and they spent quite a time there on that park bench on that sunny afternoon, just spending company together, eating Twinkies and drinking root beer. It started to get a little dark, and the little boy knew that his mother was going to get worried about him, so he decided he needed to go back home. But before he left, he turned on his heel and went right back to the old woman, and he hugged her as strongly as he could. And the smile, the biggest smile he'd ever seen, broke out on her face. When the little boy opened the door to his home a bit later, his mother was surprised to see this look of joy spreading across the little boy's face. "What did you do today that made you so happy?" she asked. And he replied, "I had lunch with God." But before his mother could even respond, and you know what? She's got the most beautiful smile I've ever seen. Meanwhile, this elderly woman made her way back to her apartment just across from the park. And she was greeted by her son, who was a bit worried about her because she'd been so sad and depressed lately. But he could see the joy in her eyes, and he said, "Mom, what did you do today that made you so happy?" And she replied, "I had root beer and Twinkies with God." And you know something? He's much younger than I thought. Friends, where is God inviting you and I to go these days that we might become God for someone else? God's love, God's presence. Who is God urging you? And I say this collectively to all of us. Who is God urging us to reach out to? We mustn't miss the opportunities that God brings our way, wherever that may be. To not allow anything to get in the way of this mission that we've been launched on to share the love of God. We have experienced it. We know about it. But are we intentionally sharing it with others? Making offerings of God's love every day. Making it that important aspect of who we are. I dare say, even the driving force of how we live out our lives in the world. And you know something? When we do so, I suspect we'll find it's not as hard to do as we thought. I give you a new commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Jesus called this a new commandment. But you know, as I've thought about it throughout this week, the newness isn't so much that we haven't heard about it before. What's new is all that I believe we'll discover when we share it. May it be so.